You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Well, hi there, everybody. It's me, Joe Thrashenkill. You're listening to another thrilling episode of the Toilet of Hell radio show. I'm joined today by my right-hand man, the golden boy, the internet sweetheart. You know him, you love him. We call him 365 Days of Horror sometimes, but most of the time we call him Jordan. Jordan, how are you?
I am good. How are you?
We'll get to that later. We also have with us, gracing us with his presence, the one and only Breno. Breno, how are you?
I was doing fantastic. I really was. I woke up this morning, you know, was refreshed, had a little breakfast, had a nice good morning dump. You know the type, right? You wake up, you do your thing. But I walk in here and I'm ready to podcast with my boys. And it's been a little while since it's been the trio of us. I acknowledge that. So I'm excited. I'm having a good time. I'm in a good mood. I sit down and my computer station here is by an open window. I mean, it's not open, but it's like there's no curtain or anything. I'm up on the second floor, so it's not like anyone can see me jerking off up here. But I see that these very expensive headphones I spent way too much money on, for some reason, in a way that has never happened to me in my entire life, somehow the sunlight from the window had just gotten on them in some direct kind of way, and the ear pads, like the leather ear pads, had somehow just kind of separated with the glue on this one piece of it, and now like my fucking $400 headphones are ruined, and I just don't know what to do with myself.
You bought $400 headphones?
I had some Christmas money, and I wanted to splurge, and this was, I mean, in retrospect, this was two Christmases ago, so I guess I can't be that upset, but I am. Fucking am. I don't know. I just wanted to. I was like, I'm a guy that likes music. I don't buy myself nice things. And I got, yeah, I trust me, I won't ever buy $400 headphones again. Don't worry. These are the last pair.
Now, I am consistently using the cheapest, shittiest headphones I can find. And, you know, not rather than getting frustrated when one of them completely shits out, either continuing to use it or pulling another one out of a box that has. Go ahead.
I use $5. Earbuds that I got from the pharmacy.
Yeah. I've got basically a box full of those, and I rotate through them. When I get frustrated with one, I throw it back in the box and pull another one out.
You guys are killing me here. Listen, what I can tell you is that you don't think you want those very expensive, very overblown, overpriced headphones. But now I had to pull some like $30 monitor headphones out of a drawer, and I'm wearing them right now, and I want to kill myself. I actually want to die. Everything sounds horrible. I listen to a little music just to be like, you know, maybe I spent too much money on headphones, and I don't know, man. I think I heard the money really, really good.
Well, I will say that I think that your headphones are actually affecting your audio fidelity, so maybe the audio files are on to something. I still think they should be put in jail for what they did to the audio, though. Anyway, this week, we got a whole big plate of things to do. Before I jump into any of it, though, I would like to call your attention to the latest episode of the Patreon bonus show that we did, because if you didn't know, we have a Patreon. We do a bonus show there every month. Jordan, you and I covered something that I find absolutely fascinating. I wanted to share it with the wider audience without as much detail. Talking about Hit Parader Presents No Cover. Do you remember talking about that?
I do. It's a fun little off-the-cuff segment that we did that I think people will enjoy. And we learned a lot about Hit Parader and who's actually behind it and what this show is all about. And possibly some interesting bands we may be talking about again in the future, depending on who wins this wonderful YouTube competition that no one's watching.
Yeah, so I'm just going to throw it out there. We are going to be doing an episode on the first season as soon as the first season wraps, because I can't wait to watch all of the shit. But I'm not going to do this on a week-by-week basis. I'm not, you know, some kind of TV sucker. I'm gonna sit down and binge it all like an American. That's your heads up to start the countdown with us. Be aware that this is a thing that does exist seems absolutely insane, and we're gonna jump right into it when it's available. Moving on from there, I think I've got COVID, guys.
You think? What are your symptoms?
My body hurts real bad. I'm super nauseous, and I have like a brain fog like you wouldn't believe. I'm talking on this podcast out of sheer fucking muscle memory.
I can tell you it's how I feel all of the time anyway, but, you know, it's like, COVID is like getting those $400 headphones on, you know, now you know what pain and brain fog really is.
My wife, we were going to go see, The Northman. We had, tickets for it, and, she started feeling really poorly, and, she took out one of those USPS COVID tests that we got. Sorry, guys. And, she got that positive little line. She's like, you'd better take it too. I'm like, well, I live with you, so I'm probably positive too. She's like, no, do it. So I did, and check it out. My immune system too strong. Don't have the COVID. But that was 3 days ago.
Your lungs are just coated with fine and pug and cat fur, and it's a layer of protection.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to believe that working with sick people all day, boosted my immune system, but I think that the fine watch machinery is now being destroyed from the inside.
You're gonna have your lung tissue snacked on. You're probably gonna get the nerve tissue that controls your nose just absolutely munched on, crunched on, and it's bad at first because you can't taste tasty stuff, but then you stop smelling your own horrible farts after a while, and that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Public restrooms are a lot easier after COVID.
So neither one of us at this point has lost taste or smell, which seems like a good thing. I feel like that's a positive sign because it means that you don't have brain damage, right?
I guess, but I never was quite as brilliant as I was after having COVID. You know, I was such a smart man.
I feel my mental faculty shutting down at this moment. So you're in for a great episode, folks. I think this is going to be a top tier episode. At this point, I'm going to go ahead and hand the floor over to you guys. I can't do the transition as well as I would have liked to there. Jordan,
I think I need to wrap myself in like a protective bubble or bubble wrap or something like this as the last host standing. It pays off to not go anywhere or do anything, I guess.
Over the last couple of weeks, I've seen a bunch of folks that have made it all this far without getting infected suddenly get infected. So
yeah,
I don't know, man.
Just gonna stay locked up forever and die.
You're probably one. I can probably count on one hand the number of people I know that have never gotten it, and you're up there, man. I don't know anybody at this point who hasn't been sick at least once.
Yeah, one of my coworkers, they left the job, and we had like a goodbye at lunch together, and I was the only person who didn't eat anything and kept my mask on the whole time. So we'll see if my office is still around in the next couple of days. It's paranoid, and everyone else has moved on from it, but I'm still hanging strong, I guess. I just don't like feeling sick. I don't like feeling bad, and no thank you. And I've been reading more and more. A bunch of shows are having to be canceled again, and tours having to be canceled again because, you know, moving around the country and yelling in front of a lot of people is pretty bad for you. I did see that Sully Erna like almost died, apparently, according to him.
Did he not get vaccinated?
Unofficially, it's the belief is that he's unvaccinated, and.
It's an easy belief, right? It's an easy assumption to make.
This is not a huge stretch for me.
Yeah, and he did do some solo acoustic Who Gives a Shit tour with none other than Aaron Lewis, who I believe is going for the hat trick of getting COVID. So I wouldn't be surprised if Aaron Lewis got him sick.
Yeah, I mean, those after-show make-out sessions, those are killer. Deadly spreader event.
Just grabbing an American flag, rolling it up and eating it one end, and he's on the other one until they kiss.
Yeah, if you're both smooching the same Trump poster at the same time, by your guys' little dorm room there, then, you know, but bound to share some cooties.
So Sully did an interview a couple weeks ago on, I swear this is true, 101.1 WJRR with Pat Lynch and Taco Bob.
Wait, I'm sorry, can you repeat that last name?
Taco Bob.
I get. Do they not allow like Mexicans in the Northeast?
No, I haven't seen one yet.
Oh, okay, okay.
So in this interview, he said, "I got very sick. I was sick for 5.5 weeks, but I was in the hospital for 4 days." When he was asked kind of if he was vaccinated and unvaccinated, he didn't really give any sort of answer, but he, gave he did say
Aaron Rodgers on that one.
When asked if he was if he thought he was going to get COVID, he said, "I didn't. I take really good care of myself. I'm a runner. I've boxed for over 20 years, and I'm on stage 2 hours a night. I have pretty big lungs," whatever that means. "So even thinking if I was going to get it, I figured I'd get sick like the normal flu gets sick, and then you push through it. But I definitely didn't expect for it to knock me down the way it did. I just got some bad luck and bad timing. Part of it was I got hit during the Christmas holidays, so all my doctors were on vacation." They were only substitutes. Like a substitute teacher just comes in, doctor puts his feet up on the table. It's like, "Eh, just don't be too loud. We'll be out of here in 45 minutes.
Yeah, I want to know what he thinks a substitute is here. Like, a nurse practitioner works the same hours that a doctor does. Like, who the fuck was he talking to?
They were kind of guiding me over the phone. And what happened was the COVID left my body within 7 to 10 days, but then pneumonia developed. And that's what got me really sick. I ended up getting blood clots in my lungs and stuff like that. That's when everything went down. It was pretty gnarly for a while because my oxygen had dipped to 76.
Ooh.
And if anyone knows anything about oxygen levels, you're not supposed to go below 95. Is that true, Joe?
It depends on it. If you have like COPD, it's normal for your body to be around like 88. Just because you've learned to adapt that way based on all the, you know, different manifestations of COPD. But for a normal, healthy person, you're probably going to be 95 or plus.
Good to know. He continues, "If you go below, you go to the hospital, and 70 is like ventilator. So I was pretty emotional, pretty nervous about wondering if I was coming out of this. But thankfully, I was in the shape I was in. And my doctor thinks, like, that proved to him. He goes, I know exactly how good of a shape you're in now because he goes, I've got to tell you, man, when you came in, I was really nervous for you. And most people that come in that condition, they don't leave with a happy ending."
Yeah, I think when I had COVID, like my mother, she was a nurse for a long time. So she had one of those little finger monitors. I think my oxygen level at the lowest was like 88. And I'm over here like, well, that's most of 100. That's pretty good. So I just didn't go to the hospital and just accepted whatever would happen. And it only got better from there. So 76 is very fucking low.
Like 88 is not ideal. Let's get that straight. No. But it's also like not life threatening.
No.
That's smart, though, like getting the pulse oximetry reader, though. Did you have any shortness of breath at that point?
The full fucking life, like every waking second I had COVID was shortness of breath all day, every day. So that's why my mom set me up with, she just had one at the house because she's was that paranoid about getting COVID and what it could do and everything like that. So she had a couple actually, and she gave me one. And I saw 88 and I was like, well, if I got an 88 on a test, I'd be pretty happy. So I'm just going to assume. Yeah, I'm going to assume that, I'm not in death's door yet. So I guess I should have really like grilled her about what the facts and figures of that little device mean before I just went off confident that I was going to have a real life at any point. But no. Yeah. 88. That's all I got. So,
no. Yeah, not great, but still okay. You're in the 70s, that's when you got to worry about ventilators and shit like that. So still passing grade. We love that.
Yep. Still interrupting everybody on the show, and we'll continue to until when that number drops to zero. Let's go.
Yeah, for being like, you know, into being in shape and exercising and caring about his health and stuff, it seems like there are other things that you could do to protect your well-being that maybe he could consider.
Yeah. Like a little little Fauci-ouchie, a little shoddy.
Get that Fauci-ouchie.
A little wokey-pokey.
I didn't it's kind of sucks that like 2.5 years later we're still fucking talking about COVID and getting COVID and stuff. That's not good.
Yeah, and
not ideal.
Sully isn't the only one. Dez Fafara also had COVID, and apparently, according to him, it almost took his life.
Oh boy. Does Dez have alternate ideals about Western medication as well?
I mean, look probably. At it.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. what did he have to say about that?
He said, any day above ground after surviving COVID that almost took my life is a good day, my friend. It's why my head ain't in the work game right now. I'm enjoying bed by 9 p.m. and holding my wife's hand in my sleep like an otter.
That's terribly cute. I'd like him a lot better if he wasn't currently running a fucking crypto scam.
And Ozzy now has COVID, too.
All right, now that might be...
That's not good.
That might be the end.
He has emphysema. I believe he has Parkinson's. His body's all screwed up from when he crushed his body with an ATV 20 years ago. Protect Ozzy.
If you got that kind of medical history, it's not great to stack another thing on top of it, man. We all love Ozzy despite his many foibles. I hope he has like a diamond plated like monoclonal body collection.
Just an iron lung at the ready.
Yep. Let's revisit this one next week. We get to, you know, aside from, you know, Ozzy, Sully Erna, Dez, Joe, all of the luminaries of metal, getting sick. What's been happening?
I don't think we've brought this up, and I think it's worth getting brought up. So, anyone who's been kind of scrolling up through the Twitter feeds the last couple weeks, now Trevor Sternad of Black Dahlia Murder, great guy we've had on the show multiple times. Unfortunately, I haven't been involved with those interviews, but maybe someday. I don't know after today, but what I'd like to bring up is that he got himself this very model-esque girlfriend, and I don't know if this is a new girlfriend. I haven't seen her before, but what we all know about her is that this particular young lady has an OnlyFans account. And the news on everybody's lips these weeks is that Mr. Sternad, our big boy there, he is prominently featured in the content that is behind the paywall. So if anybody's interested at all, it's there.
Have you subbed?
No. No. I don't think I will. I'm sure if I were curious enough, I might be able to see something leaked for free there if I were just that desperate to see what our guy's made of.
But. I can't really morally justify that recommendation there, Breno.
I know. I of course, right? Like, that's not the right thing to do. That's not nice. Like, don't, you know, pay if you're being entertained by a young lady on the internet in such a special way, I feel like you should pay for it. I think that's the way to go. But
I think it's you know, if this is something that interests you, yeah, you should absolutely pull out your credit card and check it out.
Pay up.
Yeah.
Pay up. You can afford it. You know, it's there's never There's really no OnlyFans subscription that I've ever seen that was like out you know, astronomical, and this that from what I've heard, this one isn't either. But I I'm not going to sign up for the website just for my good buddy Trevor. You know, that's okay. His privacy will remain private for me at least.
No, I guess anybody that wants to get out there and do an adult entertainment, I think that's, you know, more power to you. I'm not certain. I think that making money any way you can, as long as you're not hurting other people, is a genuinely good thing. That being said, I don't really, I don't really want to watch people that I know fuck.
I choose to believe that the involvement in the videos is him playing video games in the background.
That'd be so good. Like, I'm trying to think of like a video title, like Oblivious Boyfriend Plays Castlevania in Background.
Well, it's just like there's been the meme going around. It's a picture of like a woman's legs and her boyfriend's playing video games. And it's the quote is something like, "I can't believe he just nutted in me and started playing games."
Yep.
That, but with Trevor playing Super Mario World.
That would be super funny.
Oh yeah, I know the meme you're talking about, and I think much more funny than the original meme is just how hard they roasted that girl for her looks, because she has like that like 1984 goth eyeliner setup going on there.
It's mean as hell.
It's fucking real mean, but it's funny. It's funny. Everything that's mean is funny. I can't help it. I'm just human, and man, I mean, I. That's a weird moral conundrum, right? Is like, I don't want to see the people I know having sex. Like, yes, you do. But how much you openly want to, you know, push that window open and take a peek, especially financially, is just kind of beyond the pale for me, I guess.
I mean, I don't know if we've established it at, you know, like 500 episodes deep now, but I am sex negative. I think nobody should be having sex. This is not a safe area for people to freely talk about sex. I am dead set against that.
You're dead set against just fucking and sucking?
Yes. No good can come of that. So, you know.
Have you tried it? It's because I assure you it's pretty nice.
This is a what is the word for it? Voluntarily celibate podcast corner.
It's too bad, man.
Maybe you've just been doing it wrong. Maybe you're like all shoulders, and that's the problem.
Yeah. Nothing but elbows and knees.
That's too bad. Listen, I think you know, and we've been at this for a while, as you said, 500 episodes. Our fan base, great guys, but it's been what it's been. I think if we crank it up a notch and we bring, you know, sex sells, right? So I think if we started more prominently featured the dick, cock, and balls of any given subject matter, I think we'd be doing a lot better. You know, that's all I'm saying.
I guess it's worth a shot, you know. We can go late period dead spin in this, you know.
We've tried everything else, right? We've talked about Kid Rock. We've talked about Corey Taylor. Let's talk about, you know, selling videos of you fucking on the internet. We should discuss that more.
I don't know, man. It seems like the way that things are with the internet now, it seems like it's safer and easier to do any kind of like online sex work than it was many years ago, which seems like a good thing, I guess. But there's also this weird consolidation of these industries where, like, I don't know how much of a bite OnlyFans takes out of like your net, but I'm sure that it's not small, right?
It's got to be more than like a Bandcamp or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, well, now we know the guy to ask.
No, that's. I mean, we could also probably look at the terms and conditions.
Yeah, we'll have to get him on the show. Trevor, come on the show.
I don't want to make anything weird. I don't want to make it weird for somebody to do something that they enjoy. I don't want to cast aspersions on anybody for doing that kind of thing. I want to say good for everybody involved, and that's good enough for me. You know.
Hey man, look, this is the Metal News. We just report the facts as they come to us. I'm just reporting the facts. I'm just calling it like I see it. And that's what happened. No judgment. I just want to make very clear. No judgment, no angle. This isn't Sean Hannity. You know, I'm not talking about the moral corruption of the nation here. Okay. And I'm not talking about how this is good either. I'm just saying it's happening.
Giordo, what do you think?
Good for them. I hope they're happy and I hope they get paid.
Yeah.
There we go.
And I hope someone doesn't jump in the comments asking for him to do guest vocals. I really like that note you hit there, Trevor. Can we set something up for you to do that on my deathcore band's album?
Oh, hell yeah, man. Like, while he's doing the deed, just... perfect.
I think it would be a good time to pivot away from something that makes me uncomfortable to something that likely makes our listeners uncomfortable.
Right, because you should be able to listen to this show in church, and I think that's fair.
I'm getting all weirded out by this, so I can't wait to talk about a thing that is inarguably way more controversial. Giordo, you sent me a link earlier this week that got me a little bit heated, to be honest with you. Do you guys remember Avenged Sevenfold?
Not that much, but yeah.
They were
a big thing for a while and then just kind of faded away. They put out like secret unreleased or unpromoted album and it flopped because of course it did, and they've kind of gone away since then.
They occupied a radio segment that is now taken up by things like Bad Wolves and stuff. They were like a metal pop thing that just never really quite hit again until something like Bad Wolves came about and Five Finger Death Punch and then The Sort.
They did have that song from that secretly released album in Metal Lords, though. I don't know if you remember that being featured there.
Yeah, they had like a music video with a puppet or something. And I remember they released it in secret and they're like, we don't need to promote this. We're Avenged Sevenfold. This is going to fucking hit. And it really didn't at all because they didn't promote it.
They should have probably invested, because I remember that was years ago. You still had an opportunity to make like a little bit of money on your physical album sales. And that day is fucking gone, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, this story that you sent me, all of this, because I don't fucking keep up with Avenged Sevenfold, because why would I?
Yeah.
This all kind of came out of the blue for me, and there's a lot of aspects to this, and well, Jordan, do you want to just give us a brief overview?
Sure, we'll start with the band created a t-shirt where the proceeds were going to go for humanitarian aid in Ukraine, which a lot of bands have done that we've talked about before. Ginger had theirs, Acacia Strain, a few other bands. They make a specific t-shirt. All the money or most of the money that comes from it, they donate to Red Cross or specific charities in Ukraine, things like that, that will hopefully money or items purchased from the money will be dispersed to people in need. And initially that's what it sounds like for here. The tweet that they sent out about a month ago, 100% of proceeds of the Guardian Tea at a7xworld.com will be sent to help with supplies and humanitarian efforts in Ukraine. Now, this t-shirt that is accompanying this tweet is soft yellow. It says A7X on it, and it looks like it has Betty Boop with angel wings, combat boots, and a helmet with Ukraine's flag on it. It's ugly as fuck.
It is, in fact, this is a terrible shirt.
It looks bad. It doesn't say Avenged Sevenfold on it. It says A7X, which is partially covered, and it's that stencil font that never looks good on anything. And the tweet continued, we will personally match the donation for each shirt bought. Very nice. Good for them. The art is drawn by our friend, Ukrainian artist at crypto_vandals. So there's another layer of this dealing with crypto NFT art nonsense, which
All right, but let's back up. Okay, so this popular band is telling their fans, hey, buy this shirt for charity, and the proceeds will go to supplies and humanitarian efforts in Ukraine. and we'll match the donation and wait. So that seems neutral. Like, you don't have to look into the crypto angle with that, right? That seems fairly straightforward, right?
Right. With the exception of a follow-up tweet from MShadows, @shadows_ETH, which I don't know if that means Ethereum
it
or
does.
Not.
It does. If you notice, his profile picture is one of those fucking NFTs that looks like shit.
Not a monkey NFT, just some sort of digital doofus face.
Pixel face kind of thing.
I think Event Sevenfold was a profitable band, but not quite Bored Ape profitable.
Yeah, this is very much the this brand of NFT is the Mr. Pibb to the Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. Dr. Squirt or something like that.
Dr. Bob is the Stop and Shop brand.
And a couple days ago, MShadows, @shadows_ETH, had tweeted, "This is real life. Thank you to the @theofficial A7X @DeathBats Club community for supporting this cause. Our t-shirt donation bought many bulletproof vests for the Ukrainian people to save lives. Sent directly to the people using @Ethereum. Thank you, @crypto_vandals. And he includes two pictures of these bulletproof vests lined up with, it looks like a patch that says, supporting Ukrainian people, avenge sevenfold.
So you took these donations people made and you did some weird financial crime to turn it into fake blockchain money, and then bought a bunch of brand-branded, he says, bulletproof vests. I'm going to go gun nerd on you. These are called plate carriers. And the function of a plate carrier is to put basically bullet-deflecting plates in it. The plates that you can buy that fit these things vary in quality wildly, depending on what kind of plates that you buy. These are rated by different classes. So you could put something in there that couldn't stop a 22 and, in fact, would probably shatter apart and kill you with all of the shit that's inside your plate going inside you along with a 22. Or you could get something that can deflect like an AR rifle fire. We don't know, though.
And it's worth pointing out that these pictures that he posted, it doesn't look like there's a lot of vests. It's not like the whole thing. It's like, wow, 100 vests. It's 5 to 10 of them. That doesn't seem like a lot.
It's a very closed cropped picture.
Making sure to get in nice and tight on the supporting Ukrainian people, avenged sevenfold patch.
I want to go back to his original, their original statement that the proceeds would go to purchase supplies and humanitarian efforts. So in a country that's being actively shelled, rather than things like food or water, they decided to ship empty plate carriers for small arm fire to these poor bastards in Ukraine.
Just thinking of a grandma in her bombed out apartment holding one of these vests, wishing someone could give her a bottle of water.
Yeah. Or just wearing it with like the Avenged Sevenfold branded patch there, and no one can read it. No one knows what it
is. Someone followed up with a tweet with Mr. Sevenfold. It's awesome that you guys are so involved, but just out of curiosity, why did you choose bulletproof vest and not another kind of help? Which is a good question, because we're asking that right now.
Yeah.
Zeki Vengeance, who also has one of these Ethereum.
How the fuck are you going to be 45 years old and go by Zaki?
The funds have so far helped with multiple forms of needed tactical gear, as well as a significant donation to Monstrov.org, which is a Ukrainian charity, who provides medical care, assistance to hospitals, and humanitarian aid in Ukraine in real time. The more we collect, the more we can help together. It doesn't exactly say what help, just, you know, medical care and assistance to hospitals. So I guess that's something, but still.
More empty plate carriers.
Mine's filled with cut-up pizza boxes.
A lot of tax write-offs is what I see.
I see some kind of like cryptocurrency scam in the works. Like, this is the whole thing with Ethereum. I think it's all it's all some kind of fucking play with crypto to just you goose somebody's pockets. And again, like you said, do a tax write-off with it. I get insanely bad vibes from this. It makes me hate this band, whereas previously I just had, generally minorly negative opinions.
Now, I did manage to track down the yellow A7X Betty Boop shirt in question. Mm-hmm. This is a huge shot in the dark, like the kind of shot in the dark that will definitely penetrate whatever vest Avenged Sevenfold has given these people, but a shot in the dark nonetheless. Have either of you gentlemen seen or recall the show Drawn Together?
Yes.
Yes.
It does not look like Betty Boop. It looks like the Betty Boop knockoff from Drawn Together.
Shit, you're right. It absolutely does.
It looks so much more like her. I forgot what her name was, but the whole joke was, she's old and fat. And that was the whole joke. Like, that was the whole bit on the show. And it's her face. It's not Betty Boop's face.
Her name was Toot.
Toots. That was Toot. Yeah. It's fucking her.
God damn. What a trash ass fucking relic of the 2000s.
Yeah. You want to talk about shows that didn't age well? That show didn't age well.
Not at all. Not at all. That was probably like peak irreverent humor.
No, peak irreverent humor is Mad TV. That did get age well, though.
Did it?
These shirts were, they're charging $50 for these shirts. Like, I get,
it's always important to remember
why?
That Sevenfold are wealthy musicians from Orange County, so they have money.
Now, how much could a t-shirt cost? I don't know. My dad normally buys them.
I assume it's what, like, I don't know, $8 to order the shirt itself. So you got to take that off the top. And then you got to, take off what you're going to pocket, which is the other 20. And then the rest is left for Ukraine.
Greasing palms.
Yeah, greasing palms in Ukraine, yeah. I'm sure 12 cents of this fucking shirt goes to Ukrainian crisis. I'm sure it does.
This is not great, fellas. I think generally using the misery of people as an opportunity to get your band's name out there, I'm generally negative against it. But on top of that, like, using this as some kind of crypto scam, it makes it way worse. And again, you're not even giving food or water to people. You're getting these useless plate carriers, just hoping that maybe you can get a cool photo op with somebody wearing one with your band name on it. Overall, dog shit vibes from this.
It fucking reeks, and the involvement of Ethereum just really takes it over the edge. Like, there's no way that this is a good and proper kind of charity whatsoever, whatever's going on here.
It's a scam turducken.
Yes.
It's a scam within a scam.
Yeah.
Lots of scamming going on here. I want to go ahead and get it on the record. I would like to see the members of Avenged Sevenfold test the efficacy of their bulletproof vests.
Yeah, until I see that, and I'm not satisfied. Like, and one of them has to wear it. You can't put it on a dummy or something.
Yep. I want to see you guys show the work that what you were doing for these people in Ukraine is actually worthwhile. Otherwise, I'm branding you with the Scarlet S for scammer.
Yeah. What kind of round would you find satisfactory to this test? Like, what do you think is the standard?
5.56, of course.
Yeah, 5.56, definitely.
Yeah. I don't want to see any kind of Derringer fire here. I want to see an actual actual semi-auto rifle at it. So
I want a rifle round directly to your fucking rib cage at point blank, and I want to see it happen this week.
Clock's ticking, Avenged Sevenfold. All right, so now that we could talk about that instead of fucking, I feel satisfied. What else did you want to get in on this one, buddy?
Tattoo the Earth Festival is back. A thing we've joked about 6 years on this show.
Most recently, like 2 weeks ago.
Very recently, because it was one of those weird, frozen in time, big at the time, but then completely forgotten about festivals that had a lot of big bands on it. And it's sort of coming back. It's really not what we remember it to be. Let me see if I can pull up the original festival lineup here. Because it changed, because it was kind of a touring sort of festival, which is more common now because a lot of them are just sponsored by Monster Energy Drink. You'll hear like Carolina Rebellion or Tuscaloosa Fight Fest or whatever the fuck, and it's the same 20 bands that are on it. But the original Tattoo the Earth Fest in 2000 had Slipknot, Slayer, Sepultura, Seven Dust, Head PE, Nashville Pussy, which, wow, when was the last time anyone talked about them?
They're touring in your city tonight, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. Spineshank, Downset, who just put out a new song this week for like the first time in almost a decade. Everything old is coming back. Cold, Mudvayne, Full Devil Jacket, 1 Minute Silence, UPO, which even I'm not familiar with. I don't even know who that is.
Ooh, they were big on at least the DFW Modern Rock Radio in 1998 for roughly 6 months.
So this is interesting. I just went to their Wikipedia. UPO was an American rock band from Los Angeles formed in 1997. The band's lineup originally included Sean Albaro, Chris Webber, Ben Shirley, and Tommy Holt. Shirley and Holt left and were replaced by Philip Mathis and Zoltan Bathory.
That's right. I remember that now. Yeah, Zoltan Bathory working his way in like the LA music scene, eventually getting placed into what would become Five Finger Death Punch.
I bet that. I learned something. Also, Nothing Face, Professional Murder Music, Amen, Systematic, The Workhorse Movement, Relative Ash, and a few others. For 2000, that's a pretty big festival with a lot of big names on it.
Yeah, in terms of what was available to you in the year 2000, that's a pretty hot ticket.
And this year, Tattoo the Earth isn't a touring festival. It's one show at the Worcester Palladium. So, Breno, you and I could actually go to this. If
no.
We were incredibly bored and got free tickets. And it's not, at least now, it's not really a festival. It's two tours that have been smushed together in one place, which I hate when places do that. Because what happens is, for these festivals, and I'm pretty sure like New England Metal Fest and other places do this, is they'll have their little festival and they'll have exclusivity agreements with the bands playing, which means if they play this, they can't play shows within a certain mile radius, whether it's 50 or 100 or something like that. So if you don't go to the show, but you live relatively close, you still can't see some of these other tours because this is the one stop for the area in general.
Well,
but playing this
we got to make sure that we get you on the guest list for this one, so you don't miss out.
I mean, I could. It wouldn't be hard, but the lineup ain't looking too great. Headlining so far, again, there's more TBA, Anthrax, Black Label Society,
Pass,
Hatebreed.
There you go. I'm glad to see some continuity between the original Tattoo of the Earth and the current one.
That's right. Hatebreed was on the one in 2000, and they're on this one in 2022, having not changed at all.
Same positioning on the flyer as well, right?
Yeah, they're just mushed right into the middle. They are not gone up. They have not gone down. They have gained no new fans. It's the same people, just older, balder, and fatter.
I don't think any of these bands have any right to headline over the other, to be frank.
Anthrax at least has seniority.
Yeah.
That's all they have.
Yeah. We were on Married with Children. What the fuck have you ever done?
Right.
And they did have success in actual album sales, whereas by the time Hatebreed came on, it was like, well, we're on the second stage at Ozfest. We're on Headbangers Ball, the show I host. And that's about it. So that's one tour. So you can, if you really want to, you can see that because it's probably coming to your area. And it's nice to see Anthrax take out some young and hungry bands finally.
Yeah. They should just call this like the That Metal Show tour.
It really is. Like, you need UFO on there, the Eddie Trunk band.
Yeah, fucking Eddie.
To really spice things up.
I wanted to say Eddie Trunk tour, but I can't remember the guy's name.
And the other tour that's being mushed into this, which is actually a far more interesting tour, At the Gates, and I believe they're doing this as the anniversary of Slaughter. So that's cool. Yeah, so that's cool if you like that album. I like that album. It was a pretty influential album to the melodic death metal, eventually American metalcore scene. So cool. You get to see some of the songs on that one. Right, Municipal Waste, who are apparently in some sort of speed situation where if they stop touring, their bus blows up.
Right, yeah. Just every show, every time, everywhere.
And Enforced. So that's cool. I don't know if it's cool to have to also deal with Hatebreed fans at a show. And that's cool. They're going to have tattoos there, and it's going to be outdoors in the Worcester Palladium parking lot in August. So you get to roast in the sun while seeing Municipal Waste play a half-hour set at 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic. Yeah.
There's no better situation to get tattooed than like when your skin is just blistering in the heat. That's good. That's good for the tattoo.
Right, right. I mean, a tattoo feels like a sunburn anyway, so.
Yeah.
Might as well get both.
I guess, given the juxtaposition of Hatebreed in the past and Hatebreed now, it makes a lot more sense to me why Jamie Josta has been on a full court press to try to become a media figure over all these years. I don't know if he's really succeeding with it or not, but he sure is.
No,
trying.
Not at all. No, not at all. I don't know. I don't think anyone cares. Anybody. And I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to go. I don't know. I've never seen Anthrax live. I like Anthrax. Like, as a band, I like them. As people, I don't know. But, like, as a band, I don't know. Maybe. They're one of the few big bands I really liked as a kid that I haven't had the chance to see live. So, I don't know. This one's a huge maybe. And it's probably, I would say, like, 4/10 of a maybe.
Because it's not going to be cheap either, because it's a festival.
Right. Like, it could be cheaper.
And you got to pay those Worcester. You got to pay those Worcester parking lot fees. Oh,
fuck me! I'm not going. I'm not going. It's a 90%. The parking is 90% of the reason I don't go to Palladium shows.
It's like a good $20 to $30 to park around there.
$20 fucking bucks, if not $30.
And depending it's on even harder if like the DCU Center has shows or anything else is going on in that dead city. Good luck.
I remember. Most all the time the parking was 20, and then Dragon Force of all people had a show and it was 30.
Ugh.
And I was like, for Dragon Force, is the Guitar Hero fame that big? It's fucking stupid. Oh god. And there's really no other place to like safely park in that area for cheaper.
But you can get a tattoo while you listen to Anthrax if you want.
Yeah, I'll just get a... Well, what tattoo would you get, Jordan?
Well, I don't have any tattoos, so I wouldn't get anything.
Well, yeah, but okay, like, you know, let's play the game here. If you're at this specific show and you had to get a tattoo, what would it be of?
Jamie Josta's gross blown off thumb.
I'm going to get Scott Ian's pink beard tattooed under my actual beard.
I'm gonna get like Felix the Cat wearing sunglasses and throwing a pair of dice.
I'm gonna get Calvin peeing on Hatebreed's logo.
I'm gonna get the Homer Simpson pink donut.
That'd be a good one too.
On my knee, like around my knee, like the donut hole is like where my knee comes out.
While you guys have been talking, I went ahead and sent in the application for press passes for this one, so I can send you two off in style.
Thanks, buddy. Do the press passes cover parking?
I'll send an email, see what they can do. That's absurd. Anyway.
guarantee me a bed in the Anthrax tour bus.
You got to take your shoes off first.
I got to take off a lot more, too.
Sign my butt, Scott Ian.
That's usually how you get in there.
See,
we're back to fucking again. I'm sorry. I said I wouldn't. I feel like I had to promise I wouldn't, but we're back to fucking. We're back to fucking metal musicians.
This is moving entirely too fast. I'm lost in the brain fog. Can we focus on one thing here and hopefully I can summon some cognitive abilities.
All right. Well, let's put the Tattoo the World Festival to bed and move on to the next subject on the docket. Whatever you would pick in your notes.
Well, I don't know if you guys know this. There's a pretty influential metal band in the underground circles, and when this name gets brought up, a lot of people immediately focus on the details of the band. They want to talk about, say, like the overt upfront anti-Semitism of the band. Some would say that being the entire reason that the band exists, but others, metal patricians will say, no, it's actually a vehicle for truly unique riffs that you couldn't hear anywhere else. I'm talking about Grand Belial's Key. This came as a big surprise over the last couple of weeks. For true authentic metalheads, they've been really surprised and pleased that the band put out their first record in something like, I don't know, fuck, more than 15 years now, I guess, called Kohanic Charmers. It's another exploration of similar topics that the band has brought up before. And I wanted to... rather than get bogged down in the politics, I hate how people always bring up politics when it comes to music like this. You can't just enjoy music. I wanted to go ahead and have a little listening party here where we could enjoy some of the new music here from Grand Belial's Key. So here we go from the latest record, brand new, Kohanic Charmers. Let's give this a listen. Sometimes in my tears I drown, but I never let it I don't want to hear any naysayers talk about, again, the politics around this band. Get over it. Grow up. You can't hear true riffing metal like that anywhere else. So I'm glad to hear that they're back. I hope nothing bad happens to them immediately in their future.
Yeah, it's like, look. Think what you want about maybe the lyrical content of the music. I mean, it is what it is. You can't really understand him anyway, man. I'm just here for some genuinely really good, really high quality, objectively great metal music. And I think we're all here for the same reason, right?
So absolutely.
Yeah. I don't see a problem here then. So that's just me.
I figure it would make sense to round out this discussion with our third co-host. Jordan, what do you think?
I'll give my review in Yiddish. Nimzikt avane nafka pisher. And they can look it up if they want to see how much I'm praising them.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds like a good thing to me.
Other languages, they got ways of expressing things that we don't. It's more poetic. I like that. Suppose we got time for one more thing on this show. Dealer's choice. Who you got? What do you guys want?
Oh man, I don't know. There's been stuff that happens sometimes and stuff that doesn't happen sometimes, and I'm not just looking things up. Nothing happened since the last time we did a show, Jordan and I. Nothing happened. I'm looking at the usual places where I steal content from, and I don't see any difference at those places.
Kirk Hammett has a solo album coming out. Do you have any interest in that?
Yeah, I keep telling myself I'm going to listen to it, but I still haven't listened to it.
I've listened to one song on it, and it's like High Plains Drifter type stuff. It's not metal. I think people need to be aware of that going in. I didn't know that. He's being Kirk, and he's doing what he wants to do, which I think is nice. Finally, 40 years after attaining massive success with Metallica, he's branching out on his own. I think this would have been a good opportunity where, like, he wants to do the stuff he wants to, but maybe there's a follow-up where it's just metal guitar, because I think Metallica fans would be more receptive to that and could also help him boost some sales.
If I remember correctly, he's putting out this EP to, like, in conjunction with some kind of multimedia art display type thing. So it's part of a greater concept, because he's been in Metallica for so long, he can't fathom just putting out music.
So, like, video playing behind while the music goes. Yeah. I mean, that's interesting. That gives you something to look at least if you want to see him do it live.
I can't imagine it's anything but just, like, blistering honky-tonk wah pedal fucking dad solos all
album. The first song wasn't very, very blistering. It was almost ambient in a way. It was kind of like soundtrack music, or it might have fit in with what was that movie we watched, Halloween, Ravenous?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it could have fit in with that.
To be fair, it's tough, like, to beat the soundtrack on Ravenous. That's really unique.
But you know what I mean, with kind of that, like, out in the wilds type guitar ambience.
So there's, like, no top line to the song.
It eventually kicks up and there's a little bit more going on, but it's pretty mellow, I guess. Mid. I don't know what type of word you'd use for that. Like, it's not bad. It's just, if you think Metallica guitarist puts out solo song, you wouldn't think this.
I really hope that there's some sort of vocal talent from Kirk Hammett that I know and love on display, not the least of which being something along the lines of, "I'll push it out! I'll push it out!"
I think it's good that Kirk is doing this, because it just gets me that closer to hearing the Lars solo album, and that's all I really want.
Yeah, when they found out about his EP being released, they said, "He put it out! He put it out!"
He's really doing it, man.
This is the future. We're stuck in the past.
We're the past, and this is the future. And that's I guess that's the big news to this, is Metallica has been so hard-ass about their members not doing solo stuff for so long. So hard-ass, in fact, that what actually drove Jason Newsted to quitting was when James Hetfield lent his voice to a fucking South Park movie song.
Did he?
That was it.
Yeah. Boy, you're going to hell. You're going to die. You're going to die. That one where Kenny actually goes to hell.
That was James Hetfield?
1,000,000%, yes.
Wow.
Boy, you are going to hell.
I assume that was just one of the, beefy voices that the Trey Parker and Matt Stone does on the show all the time. It's right on the nose of parody.
No, they literally got the get, because I'm assuming whenever they do those songs, they have someone in mind. And so when they put out the South Park movie, they probably just had this monstrous budget and they're like, let's actually get the voice of the guy we're always making fun of when we make these, like, stupid songs.
Yeah.
And they got him. And that was the blowout. Because they told Jason Newsted up front, like, you're not allowed to have any bands other than Metallica ever. That's what you sign on to when you join this band. You can't do any side projects at all. And then James Hetfield did the South Park movie thing, and that's what pushed Jason Newsted over the edge. He said, "That's bullshit, I quit."
Holy
shit.
That
was it.
Wow, I had no idea. You've dropped some serious knowledge on me this week.
Right. So it's interesting to see, I don't know, 20 some odd years later, if not more, Kirk Hammett is now finally allowed, like, they've made so much money and they have such large mansions at this point that it's finally okay for one of them to maybe just put out something on Bandcamp in their garage.
You're not allowed to put out a full album, though. You can only do an EP. You gotta have ground rules,
and it can't sound like Metallica.
Yes.
because that matters in 2022 after the last couple albums they've put out.
I hope they sue each other. Like I hope one day they just end into some horrible legal battle and they just draw it out online and it's a lot of Twitter drama and they all just like open up about how much they hate each other. I hope Metallica like ends in a ball of flames. I really do.
I think the money's too good. Yeah. And it's been too good for too long for it to like really matter at this point. Like if it was really a problem, they could just go on separate tour buses to every show. You know, they can fly out, play a show, and not have to talk to each other other than when they're on stage for an hour. So you're probably not going to get some sort of massive blowout. You're not going to get Metallica Inc. and Metallica. What was the Morbid Angel? I Am Metallica. You're probably not going to get those competing things. It's just, this is a business. It's a business that's beneficial to all of them. No one's getting cut out of money like Michael Graves when he was in the Misfits or anything like that. And this is what they know. What else are they going to do other than make these twangy EPs and whatever Lars does, exploring sound shapes or Jazz Odyssey type stuff. So
yeah, I just want like the Ulrich name in like the Metallica font on a t-shirt somewhere trying to be sold because he had to break it out solo. Like I hope it happens. I hope it's just like the messiest, biggest, stupidest breakup ever. I hope it's not. I mean, we all know what's going to happen. They're going to do this retirement tour and they're going to make $1 trillion on every show. And then it will be the end when they're finally too old and hate each other finally just too much to play one more tour.
I think that the more likely scenario is like, you know, it's the Kiss endless farewell tours or whatever, just without all of the baggage that those guys have with each other.
Yeah.
It'll end when they all eventually die, which, you know, seems like it's a pretty good while away. So enjoy the Metallica.
right. And enjoy the EP Portals from Kirk Hammett, which I'm sure is available somewhere.
All right, I'm going to actually do it this week. I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to force myself to listen to something I want to hear. It's a big change for me, guys.
I just want to hear that sweet, sweet Hammett solo. Just wow, now.
Get $400 headphones so you could really hear the warmth in the wah pedal.
Mm. Yeah, it's not even worth it without it. So I won't until I can. You know, I'm just gonna have to save my money and replace the irreplaceable.
Well, folks, I think that I need to call it. If you guys want to keep talking, that's fine. But I can't keep track of the conversation anymore. So
we hate each other. So we're like Metallica at this point. We want to get away from each other. You know, once the money's made from this episode, it's just,
it's not that I hate separate you. It's just that I'm having some trouble cognitively functioning at the moment.
It's not that I hate you. It's that I just don't want you to live anymore.
Right? Yeah. It'd be better if you were dead to me. You know, that's not hate. It's different.
I think I'm going to lay down. I think that's what I'm going to do. I hope that you guys have a good afternoon, and all of you listeners, I hope you have a great day, and I don't have to try to avoid getting sick.
Yeah. Try to keep a metal somewhere in there, and we'll see you next week.
Bye. Yeah.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.